good? How's everybody doing? Can you say fantastic? Can you say fantastic? Okay, a few of us. That's good. That's good. I'm Randy. We have a chance to meet. Man, it's awesome to see you today. And I just got to say, last night we had our annual Dream Team party. Dream Team is all those that are serving on a team here at the church. And it was fantastic. We had a blast. In fact, if my voice runs out, it's because I laughed so hard. I think I broke five things in my body somewhere. It just was phenomenal. If you didn't make it, we missed you. If you're serving, but get with your team leader. We got something we want to give you. If you're not currently serving, wow, come on and be a part. I thought about this last night as I was leaving, and I thought, you know, every time somebody joins the Dream Team at the gathering and the Dream Team gets bigger, we reach more people. It's a natural mathematical thing that happens. It's just beautiful. So come be a part. It's an incredible thing as well. Well, we're in this amazing, dynamic, just incredible series and campaign called. Does anybody know what it's called? Hint. It's right behind me. Say it again. Daring Faith. And we're talking about faith, and this is the key to miracles. And God's just so many stories I'm still hearing. I'm going to share a little bit of one at the end of the service today. But I'm just amazed and humbled by all that God is doing and all that He is in the midst of this. March 20th, 2 weeks from today, is our Commitment Sunday. And we're going to have the opportunity. Nobody's going to hold a gun in your head to give. That's between you and God. And it's equal sacrifice, not equal gifts. We're just asking you to listen to God, to pray and see what He would have you do. If this is your first time, you don't worry about it, okay? You come learn what the church is all about and see if it's something God wants you to invest in. But we're just expecting great miracles. There's another resource in your program. You can read that when you get home. This is just to be a tool if you want to use it in this whole process. And then everybody, other than those that have just come today, maybe for the first time, should have received one of these in the mail. If you didn't, we've got plenty out there at the resource table. Please get it. It just lays some things out there real simply about it, and you'll kind of see where our heart is on this whole thing. And all the funds are going to go to funding our new church home, and we'll show you a little bit of that in a minute, too, later in the service. So, at any rate, it's an amazing time to be a part of the church. Please pray. It doesn't matter how much you give. What matters is the sacrifice that you make. That's what matters most to God, and no gift is too small. Last week, I talked about something that's really, really dear to God's heart. It's called generosity. If you miss, go online to our website and pick up on that. Today, I want to get into what I believe is one of the biggest pushbacks we have in life. I don't think there's a whole lot out there that punches our button more than having to wait. Does anybody in here get off on waiting in a line? I didn't think so. All right, now you're pointing at your husband. That's not fair. You ever been to Disney World on one of the busiest days of the year? It's like the mother of all lines. You know what I'm talking about? I was working in my office a little while back, couple of months ago, and I was jamming on it, on a roll, had to get something done that afternoon, typing away. My keyboard blew up. It was Satan. He blew up my keyboard, okay? And I tried another. It didn't work. I tried batteries. It didn't work. So I jumped in my truck, ran over to Office Depot, you know, and found the exact one I found that I needed. And it was like, this is God. It's a sign. I went to check out. There was only one register open. There's like 50 people in line at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, maybe 9.5 people. I'm exaggerating a little bit. But it was a long line. So then I look over at the copy place where they do your faxes and stuff, and there's only one person getting checked out. I said, great, and I ran over there before anybody else saw it, and I wasn't going to let anybody else get in front of me, right? And so I get there, and that person's leaving, and the clerk behind the counter there, as I walk up to it, turns around and goes and sits down at the desk. True story. And I'm like, what? I was so patient, so godly. I waited 3 seconds. I said, excuse me, could you help me? You know what they said? They looked up and went, there's a register over there, sir. I'm busy. Now, I'm not going to tell you what went through my head because you probably wouldn't like me a whole lot, okay? So I stuffed it in. I walked over and got in this huge line. And like 3 hours later, when I get up there to pay my money, at least it seemed like 3 hours, and I'm in this huge hurry. You know, the girl was nice. She was so sweet. And I was not sweet, okay? I'm just telling you. But I get up there and she says, hey, sir, did you experience everything okay? Find what you needed? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Can you see the smoke coming out of my ears right now? You know the urgency of my life right now. And I didn't say that. You know what I did say? Not proud of it, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I said, yeah, I guess so. Now that I found somebody that's not too busy to help me out. And I'm like, ouch, forgive me, God. I'm still repenting. Look, you need to know I'm not perfect, okay? But the whole deal is we can't stand to wait, can we? But what we don't realize is waiting is such a vital part of our growth and our character development. There's some things we just can't learn unless we go through some waiting. And that's why today we're gonna talk about that. Look, our inability to wait, and I'm talking to me today, man. Oh, I love to get in a hurry. Our propensity to get in a hurry is the cause of so many problems. Our inability to delay gratification causes all the debt that we get in. I mean, we can't wait until we can afford something to buy it. So what do? We buy it on credit and we get in debt. What about social problems and diseases that come because we refuse to delay sexual gratification before marriage? I could go on and on and on with the issues, but the bottom line is it always results in broken hearts and ruined relationships and lives and just terrible stuff because I got to have it now. Have you ever, let me ask this question, have you ever been in a hurry when God wasn't? That would be me, okay? I'm prone to do that. One of the most challenging places you can ever find yourself is in that waiting room of God, where you're waiting and you're asking and you're not hearing anything. You can rush your kids. You can't rush your brides, guys. Don't try that. You can rush your kids. You can't rush God. You can't push Him. Some of us right now, in fact, I'll bet a bunch of us are here this morning, and you're waiting to hear something from God. You're waiting to get a response. Maybe it's you need a job, or you need an open door, or some deal to get done, or you just need direction. You need something, and you're not hearing it. And we're like, I'm praying. I don't get it. I don't understand what's going on. And there's a delay. You know, there's just this period, and God's not saying no. God's saying not yet. There's a big, big, big difference to that. Why does God delay? I mean, He's God. He could answer every request I asked Him instantly. Why doesn't He do it? Because He knows I'd become a selfish little jerk that always just chose to use God as some kind of vending machine. Cha-ching, cha-ching, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. That's our nature. Let me give you some truth in Ecclesiastes. This is a great book, just past Psalms, the middle of the Bible. Chapter 3, verse 11. Help me out. It says, God does everything just right and, what's those two words?
On time.
But people can never completely understand what He's doing. Why? Because He's God and I'm not. And that's why I don't or never will have the 411 on what's best and when it's best for it to happen in my life. Only God does that. Waiting is a vital component to faith. So that's why today I'm going to dare you to wait on God. And what we're going to do is we're going to answer two questions. So grab your message notes. You can write this stuff down. Here's the first question we want to answer. When I'm waiting on God, what do I need to remember? What do I need to remember? I'm going to give you some things to remember when you're in that waiting room for God. Here's the first one. There's a natural delay between planting and harvesting. There's going to be a time period there. You know, if I plant carrot seeds this afternoon, I can promise you I'm not going to be pulling up carrots tomorrow morning. There's a delay between the planting or the sowing and the harvesting or the reaping. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. It says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time or a season to plant and a time or season to harvest. A time to scatter and a time to gather. God's talking about seasons here. If we could ever grasp this idea of things revolving around seasons, what it's saying is that you're going to reap, you're going to harvest in a different season than when you sowed, that you'll get results later. If you've been attending the gathering, if you're a member, if you're part of the church, individually we're praying over what seeds to sow in daring faith, seeds of sacrifice, financial seeds. And what I want all of us to remember and be reminded of is that as we plant those seeds, the harvest is not going to come right away, but it will come, but it's going to come in another season. So what do? I wait quietly. I wait patiently. I wait in anticipation. And I have to be intentional at that. There's always a delay. Here's the second thing to write down that you got to remember. There's an unseen battle going on. An unseen battle. You can't see it. Probably can't feel it. But 24/7, there's some serious spiritual warfare going down. And I mean, it happens between good and evil, between God and Satan, between his angels and his demons. And if you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as Lord, you're smack dab in the middle of it. Why? Because Satan wants to mess you up. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's what he's best at. That's why Apostle Paul gives us this in Ephesians 6:12. He says, we are not, you and me, we're not struggling and fighting against human beings. Hello, that's what I wrote in my Bible. Hello, we're not fighting against each other, but against evil spiritual forces in the heavenly realm. The rulers, authorities, and the powers of darkness. You can count on this. When you step out in faith for God, and you end up in that waiting room waiting for God to respond, Satan's going to start throwing darts. Darts of doubt, disappointment, discouragement, depression. He's going to come. But what you need to realize is that there's a dimension beyond your prayers. You can't see it. Daniel, in the Bible, go to the book of Daniel. It's in the latter part of the Old Testament. Read chapter 10. Incredible story where Daniel had a request of God. And he actually fasted and prayed for 21 days, didn't hear anything. And all of a sudden, this angel shows up, scares the daylights out of him. Go read the story. This is so cool. And what the angel tells him, he says, hey, Daniel, we heard your request on day one, but I've been battling with this warrior from Satan. And the battle was so intense, I had to call on some help from a super stud angel, Michael, up there, the archangel, to come down and help me win. And we did. And now I'm here. And I want you to know God's answering your prayer. You know, it's going to happen. This is sitting in your notes. But this is huge. Write it down. Delay is not denial. Delay is not denial. Don't ever stop praying. There's a battle going on that you can't see and you don't know about. He hears your request. He's listening and he's answering, but you'll get it at the right time. Number three, I got to remember when I'm waiting on God that he's preparing me for his blessing. Preparing me for his blessing. This changes your whole perspective. When you ask God for something, every time you ask God for something, this is awesome. He always has something bigger and better in mind for you than what you're asking. But he's got to get you ready for it. He's got to work on you and prepare you and work on your character. And it takes time. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. There is wonderful joy ahead. I can promise you that was not on my mind when I was standing in that long line at Office Depot. But it was a fact that there was wonderful. When I got back here and plugged in that new keyboard, it was like lightning, man. It was great, okay? So God's going to bless, but that's the inevitable answer to our prayers. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while, including delays. These troubles do what? What do they do? What does it say? Test what? Your faith. These troubles, the delays, the waiting time, test your faith. Whatever you're going through right now, it's testing your faith to show that your faith, it is strong and pure. Just as fire tests and purifies gold. And your faith, get this, is far more precious to God than mere gold. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So what do you do when you're going through hell? Turn to somebody and say, don't stop, for crying out loud. Tell them, don't stop. Because if you do, you're going to burn up. You keep going. And you realize, look, God's got this. He's working on me. He's preparing me. He's getting me ready for something, a blessing. He's testing me. Waiting is a test. It's always a test. When you've been asking God for something and you're not hearing and you're waiting and nothing's happening and you're in that season between sowing and harvesting, God's growing. He's testing your character, your trust in him, your endurance. Romans 8:24 says, absolute fun passage to read. Ladies, Paul uses pregnancy as an analogy here. I think this is so awesome. He says in chapter 8 of Romans, verse 24, waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. Get this, ladies. We are enlarged in waiting. You ever been pregnant, ladies? Okay. We don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become. How many times do you look in the mirror? And the more joyful our expectancy. You get pregnant, ladies. You can't see the baby, but you start growing larger. And you know that the baby's coming, and you just can't wait to see that baby. You've got an eager expectancy. So he's making a spiritual analogy here. Look at this transition. Meanwhile, when we get tired in the waiting, anybody get tired in that? God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit is right alongside helping us along. What a promise. His very own Spirit. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He, the Holy Spirit, prays in us and for us. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows you better than your mama knows you. And he knows our pregnant condition, our waiting circumstances. He knows it all. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. That is a powerful promise and a powerful truth. And in the same way, we're to be expecting. You know, we plant the seed and you know it's coming. You know it's going to happen, but you got to wait. You got to stay in there and know that it's going to happen. Number four, I got to remember I'm in good company when or while I'm waiting on God. I'm in good company. If you're waiting for that job right now, you're waiting for that miracle, that answer to your prayer, just look around you. Go ahead, look around. Some beautiful people around you. I can promise you almost everybody you're seeing is in the same boat. Millions have gone before you. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 12. People who lived in the past became famous because of their what? Faith. Their waiting, their trust in God. In the Bible, there's an amazing young girl named Hannah. Another great story. It's why we read the Bible. Go look her up. She waited years for God to give her the baby that she was asking him for. Joseph. Maybe you might know that story. He spent 14 years in prison waiting. God was preparing him to save the world. If you look at Moses, Moses spent 40 years waiting for the next step to take in his life. Abraham spent 100 years waiting on that first child. Noah, for crying out loud, he spent 120 years just waiting for it to rain. Everybody calling him a fool. He waited. How many years are you waiting? Or how many years have you had to wait? God waited thousands of years before he sent the Messiah to save all of us. God's never in a hurry. It's you and me that struggle with that. Number five, when you're waiting, you got to remember that God always keeps his promises. Circle that word always in your notes. He always keeps his promises. Unlike the rest of us, especially me, I'm going to let you down because I'm human. But unlike the rest of us, you can always count on God to come through. That's exactly what you do when you're waiting on him. You count on him to come through no matter how dark it gets. You don't focus on what you can't do or you don't have. God, I can't do that. I don't have the abilities, the talents. I don't have the resources. I can't, God. You don't focus on that. You focus on what God can do and the resources that God has. It changes everything. And one of the reasons you do that is through his promises. We've been talking about this For the last several weeks, over 7,000 promises in the Bible. You get a hold of those promises and they keep you focused on God and they get you looking at his unlimited abilities instead of you and your very limited abilities. All things are possible with God. I love this passage, a little book called Habakkuk. You got to say that K on it, Habakkuk. It's in the latter part of the Old Testament, chapter 2, verse 3. God says, at the time I have decided. So answer me, folks. Who decides when? God. At the time I have decided, my words will come true. Do you believe it? God pretty much thought we wouldn't or we would struggle with it because he goes on. He says, my words are going to come true. You can trust what I say about the future. It may take a long time, but keep on waiting. I'm telling you, God says, it will happen. Some of us need to take that verse and you need to put it on your refrigerator today. And you need to read it and believe it every single time you walk by it. God's saying, count on it. If I say it, it's done. It might take a long while to happen, but count on it. It's gonna happen. I will do it. You know, if you're waiting today, maybe for that doctor's report to come in, or you're waiting on some answer to happen, or something that needs to go down in your life and it's not happening, you need to take God's promises. This is the win. Memorize them. Get them into your heart. Hide them there. Say them. Speak them out loud and believe them. Those are some things that we need to remember when we're in the waiting room with God. The second question is this. What in the world do I need to do when I'm waiting on God? What do I need to be involved in? I'll give you a few things. These are really huge. First, I've got to write down the lessons I'm learning. Write down the lessons I'm learning. The best time to learn and grow is when you're waiting, bar none. So you need to be, and I need to be, we need to be intentional at listening. God is always, always teaching. I read something in our Daring Faith devotions this past week that just really grabbed me, so much so I put it out on Twitter and popped it out there, and I wrote it this way: every storm is a school. Isn't that awesome? Every storm is a school. God takes advantage of everything that happens in our life, and he teaches us these rich truths. Right now, God wants you to learn something that before the seed that you're going to plant in Daring Faith ever sprouts. He's going to teach you some things, and that's when miracles really go on in our lives, and we just grow so much. It's huge in our character development. But if you forget, or if you don't write it down, you'll forget it. You won't remember it. And when that happens, you got to start over on the whole process. If anybody's like me, there's been a lot of times in my life I've had to go on through the same learning curve like 20 times. Like, get it through your head, man. You know, God has to take us through things over and over again. That's no fun, is it? And really, it's an unnecessary pain. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they were in slavery, and God freed them. Did you know it should have only taken them a few weeks to walk to the promised land? A few weeks out of slavery into the promised land. Life is awesome. You know how long it took them? 40 years. Just a few weeks. They spent 40 years trying to get there. Why? God gave them 7 tests. He said, just trust me. They failed every one of them. They spent 40 years going round and round and round in the wilderness. There's a principle in this wilderness thing. Waiting in the wilderness has a purpose. You see, the way to the promised land always goes through the wilderness. You got to go through that waiting period. It's essential that you write down the lessons you're learning. God actually commanded Moses to do this. Look at Numbers chapter 33:2. At the Lord's direction, Moses kept a written record of their progress. Are you keeping a written record of your journey with God? Are you writing it down? Oh yeah, Randy, I got a diary. No, I'm not talking about a diary. You got a diary, you write down the things you do. Hey, this morning I had a mocha frappuccino. Who gives a rip that you had a mocha frappuccino? I mean, who cares about your mocha frapp, okay? That's a diary. But a journal is where you write down these lessons, these things that God's teaching you, so you don't forget them. I got to write it down now more than once if I'm gonna remember it. And when you do that, let me go back to the Daring Faith book. I love, love, love it, because you had a page and you get these incredible truths and promises, and you learn, you're listening. And then on the right side, it says, Randy, what did you hear today? Write it down. Under that, it says, Randy, how does that apply to your life? Write it down. Force me to do this. It says, Randy, what are you going to do with it now? Write it down. And then finally, Randy, tell God. Boom. When we do that, when we really begin to practice that, we're going to discover that little lessons lead to big successes. Look at Psalms 119:33. God, teach me lessons for living so I can stay the course. Great, great, great prayer to pray when you're in the wilderness. To just to say, God, I don't want to be where I'm at today in 40 years. So teach me. And remember, I'm simple-minded. Make it plain. I want to learn this lesson so I can stay the course in life. I've got to write it down. That's what I've got to do in the waiting period. And then, this is so cool, I've got to act as though I already have it. Act as though I already have it. When you planted a seed, what do? While you're waiting for it to grow, you act as though you already have it. That's called faith. That's what we've been talking about. But typically, that's not the way we react, is it? Our default, when we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for God, is to do what? To worry, to fret, to whine, to complain. Why, Lord? Why me? I mean, what are you going to do about this, Lord? And how are you going to do it? And when? When, Lord, am I going to see some carrots? Come on, help me out. And we just struggle. We got to learn to act as if we've already got it, to act in faith. I want you to look. In fact, I want you to read out loud what Jesus said. This is our memory verse for the week. And it's in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Here we go, together. Jesus said, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Amazing promise. Do you notice the change in the tense there? It says, believe that you have. That's the past tense. And then all of a sudden, Jesus goes into, and it will be. That's the future tense. What's Jesus saying there? He said, you got to believe. You got to act like it's already happened in order to get it. You got to believe that it is so, even though it isn't yet. That's living with a daring faith. Ladies, let's go back to the whole pregnant thing. What happens when you find out you're pregnant, besides going ballistic and figuring out some cool way to tell your husband, and he better be excited about it, right? What happens? You start immediately eating different. Well, I'm going to eat right now. You start taking better care of yourself. You start buying maternity clothes. You start thinking about the nursery and what it's going to look like. Then there's these baby showers. You get all these things that make noise, and you get 100 different outfits the same size that they can only wear like half of them before they get too big. And you do all this stuff by faith. You're expecting a baby that's not here yet, but you're acting as if he or she is here. What about this? When you're out of work, what do you do? You lay around the house eating Doritos all day and watching Law and Order reruns? I don't think so. No, you act like you're at work. You set your alarm. You get up every morning. You put on your work clothes. You get proactive. You get out there and you move. Don't wait until you get a job to act that way. Do it now. Why? Because waiting is never passive. Waiting is active. There's a huge difference between waiting passively in fear and doubt and just apathy and waiting expectantly by faith and then acting on that faith. You get prepared. You act as though you already have it. Romans 4 tells us an amazing thing. It says that God actually calls things that are not as though they are. He changed Abraham's name to father 25 years before he ever had that first child. He called Gideon a mighty man of valor, even though he was still a shriveling coward hiding. What about Peter, Mr. Foot in the Mouth Peter? While he still had his foot stuck in his mouth, Jesus said, you're a rock. God calls it and speaks it into existence. He says, you and I should do it the same way. Act as though I've already got it. Next, imitate the habits that grow strong faith. Imitate the habits that grow strong faith. What does that mean? That means that I've got to go seek out some folks that are out there living their lives with a daring faith and then just do what I see them doing. Use your waiting time to grow, to mature in life. Hebrews 6:12, a couple of verses here. Not 6:12. Yeah, 6:12 it is. Hebrews 6:12. We do not want you to become lazy, but to, what's that word? Imitate. Imitate those who through faith and patience, that's waiting, inherit what has been promised. Paul says in Philippians 4:9, keep on putting into practice all you learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing. That's called imitation. If you're in that season of waiting, and there's a struggle there going on in your world, find a godly man, find a godly woman. Look at how they're responding in faith and imitate that. Go to the Bible and study the great men and women of faith there. Hebrews has got a whole list of them. Here's the deal. God's never going to steer a parked car. He's not going to do it. You got to be moving. You got to get on the highway of faith. And then God's going to begin to steer and guide. And you got to do what you see others living by faith doing. You got to keep on praying. Don't stop. You got to keep on giving, and you got to keep on serving, and keep on working that relationship, that thing called life out in relationships with others in a community group or small group. You got to keep on believing. You got to live it out before you even see it happen. God is all over that. It pleases him. It punches his divine button. Many of you know the story that Lindy, my bride, and I have been writing the past several years with her traumatic brain injury 4 years ago, and then last summer, to just put a little icing on the cake, she got diagnosed with chronic myeloid leukemia. And I confess, there's been a lot of times when all I could pray was, God, just help me get through the week. But you know what we're both convinced of? With all that's going on and all that's going down, we're convinced that God is teaching us some habits and some skills that are equipping us for something to come that we would never be able to handle or to walk through and glorify God in and be successful with had we not gone through what we're walking through right now. God loves to teach us that way. You know, I also have discovered this. I can be a slow learner. And maybe you're that way too. If you are, pray like I do a lot of times. God, please help me learn this the first time. Okay? Help me now to get this. The waiting time is the best opportunity to learn. So you got to write down the lessons. You got to act as though you already have it. And you need to imitate the habits that grow in faith. Here's the last one. Trust God instead of freaking out. Trust God instead of panicking. Here's a fact. I'm almost always in a hurry. God is never in a hurry. And God's never late. His timing is perfect. Now, even when you think it's not. There's a great story about this in the Bible with a couple of sisters, Mary and Martha. And they literally thought Jesus was late because he waited, even though he knew, to show up until their brother had died. But what they didn't know is that Jesus had something a whole lot better and bigger in mind for them. His goal wasn't to heal their brother Lazarus. His goal was to raise him from the dead. It was to perform and do this just an amazing, out of this world miracle. Sometimes God lets a situation that happens in our lives, like because of this broken world we live in, he lets it go and get so bad that only a miracle will do. Don't give up on your faith. Hold on, man. Do what we're learning today because you're getting ready for a miracle. Never, never stop knowing that that's a truth. What did Jesus do? He had him move the stone out of the way. He walks up to the tomb and he goes, Lazarus, come forth. And immediately Lazarus comes dancing out with the stars in full-blown color of life. But what was so cool is the little prayer that he prayed before it ever got to that point. He said, thank you, Father, that you've already heard me. Think about that. He knew what he was going to do. Likewise, God knows exactly what he's going to do in your life a week from now, a month from now, next year, in the next decade. God knows. And his plan for you is good to give you a future and a hope. You can trust him, and you should. It just makes sense. When the answer isn't coming, you're starting to lose it. Remember, God's never early. He's never late. He's always right on time. You know, the bamboo plant, I don't know if you ever read much about it, or maybe you have some, I don't know. The bamboo plant is really interesting. If you want to grow some, you just cut a piece off, cut it in half, and you stick it in the ground. It's pretty much that simple. And here's the hard part. You water it. You water it for a whole year, and at the end of the year, you're still watering it. You got nothing, not a zip. So you water it again for a second year. By now your neighbors think you're an absolute idiot. What's he doing? Nothing's growing. Third year, fourth year, fifth year, you're watering it, you're fertilizing it, nothing. Sixth year of watering it faithfully, nothing. You get to the seventh year though, and all of a sudden it sprouts. And when it does, it explodes. Some bamboo can grow 3 feet in 24 hours. You literally can sit there and watch it grow. Some bamboo can grow 9 feet in 4 days. When it takes off, it takes off. Your life is like bamboo. And maybe you're here today and you're discouraged. You're just really bummed out. Maybe even you've grown apathetic and you've been working and working and working and you're studying the Word and you're having a quiet time and you're serving and you're tithing and you're trying and you're believing and you're planting seeds. Listen to me. You may be in year 6. Don't give up, because when that thing sprouts, it's going to take off and it's going to grow 9 feet in less than a week. You watch. You put God at His Word and you watch what He does. You're going to go, wow, what happened? God just did what He wanted to do all along. Galatians 6:9, tremendous encouragement and a promise. So let us not get tired of doing what is right, for after a while, at the right time, who determines the right time? God. We will reap a harvest of blessing. But here's the condition. If we don't get discouraged and give up, if we don't quit. I see it. Over and over and over, way, way, way too often. People get into year 3 of the whole bamboo story and they start giving up. The first thing that goes is church attendance. Then that quiet time with God. Then serving. Then tithing. Then they give up on God. And I just want to run to them and say, don't give up. Don't stop. Don't quit. You have no idea what God has prepared for you and what He wants to do for you. You can't even imagine it. And you what you're going to experience, what you're going to accomplish. Don't give up. Hold on. Stay faithful. Write it down. Believe that it's already happened. I am so grateful. In the darkest times of my life, I've never gave up on God. But I am way, way, way more grateful that He's never given up on me. You see, He knew exactly what He wanted to do with my life and what was going to happen. I had no clue. I didn't know. But I just kept hanging in there the best I could, serving and giving and believing and trying to learn. And I never stopped trusting. And you know what? The bamboo sprouted. I think a lot of times when we really think we're waiting on God, the reality is He's waiting on us. If we're going to be gut level honest, I think we admit that what we're really thinking is I'm waiting for the fear to go away. And then I'll do it. You know, when God takes the fear away, that insecurity away, then I'll make the commitment. You know, I'll get baptized. I'll jump in. I'll start tithing. I'll start serving. I'll do this. You need to know something. The fear is never going away. God's not going to take the fear away. The only way you get through fear is to move against it. You have to power up and do the very thing that you fear the most. And the only key to success in that is trusting God completely. Psalms 56:3, David gives us this. He says, even when I'm afraid, I just keep on trusting You. You know, making a 36-month financial commitment with all the other expenses that we have in life and bringing a big offering over and above our tithe on March 20th, that's a scary deal. That's a scary thing. The only thing that's going to enable us to accomplish it, or any other thing that you may have that's causing anxiety right now or stress or worries, is to step out in faith, to take God at His Word and to respond in that. I'll never forget the first time that our firstborn, Garrett, really learned to trust me. And we were somewhere on vacation. I was in a pool, and I was kind of out in the deeper water, a few feet from the edge. And Garrett was on the edge. He's just a little skirt now. He's a little guy. He had his floaties on, you know, those kind of things. And I remember him wanting so bad to jump out there where I was, but he wouldn't do it. He wanted nothing to do with it. And I stretched out my arms. I said, come on, Garrett. You can do this. Jump. I'll catch you. You can trust Daddy. All of a sudden, he takes this leap, and he's flying through there. It's like a slow motion, and I could see that look of terror on his face as I caught him turn into incredible joy. And you know what he said? Do again. Do again, Daddy. And we did all afternoon. And I didn't mind it at all, because I lived as a father. I lived for that moment. I caught him every time. The reason he wanted to do it again is because he was what he was made for. You know, the same is true with our Heavenly Father. Whatever you're going through right now, whatever waiting period you might be in, he's standing in the deep water, I promise you. And he's looking right at you, and he's got his arm stretched out. And you know what he's saying? You were made for this. Come on, jump. I'll catch you. You can trust Daddy. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think about that thought for just a moment. I want you to encounter that Heavenly Father that loves you this way. And he's proved that love over and over and over. And more than anything, if you're here and you've never really fully experienced that love, you've never really fully jumped for the first time in the arms of God and trusted him with your eternity, I want to encourage you that you can do that right now. That in this moment, you can simply say this. Just say these words and mean it with all your heart. Say, Jesus, I surrender. I surrender my life. I don't understand all that that means, but by faith, I surrender. I acknowledge that you came, you lived on this earth just like me, but you died on that cross to pay the debt for all of my sin, all of my mess up. And you rose again and you're alive. I give you my life. You call the shots. Father, I'm jumping. I'm trusting you to catch me. You pray that right now. You just pray it and watch what God begins to do in your world. Don't take your eyes off of him. For all of us today, how can it be that God would love us like this? That he would send Jesus and that he would enable us to let go. He would empower us, in fact, if we let him, to just trust him with everything. God is the God that turns crucifixions into resurrections. He turns dead ends into deliverance. He turns the impossible into the possible. He turns defeat into victory. What a God. What an amazing Savior. Father, right now in Jesus' name, make yourself known as we just reflect on who you are and all you've done for us. And God, in Jesus' name, empower us. Empower us to trust you.